And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, I tell you what, I got a caller. He held on during the break. Let me honor his time. Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan, how you doing, buddy?
Listen, brother, you need to do that. Get us all together and we can stand up and identify each other.
There we go.
Have a big time. You know, you got sponsors. Find a restaurant around here that you sponsor with, and I'm sure Megan Half the Well show up.
I'm for it, man. And we'll cook up a batch of home fries together. What do you think?
Well, I'm cutting back on the fries. Actually, the way you'd recognize me, I'm a silver-haired 64-year-old with a six-pack.
That's not a six-pack of Bud Light, right?
Remember John F. Kennedy Jr.? You got a picture of him working out?
Yeah.
That's me.
Oh, nice.
No, dude, I'm not kidding you, dude. I am dead serious. I got a 45-year class reunion, and I committed myself. I was also committed to myself to do something about it, man. And you know what? That's what you call initiative. That's what you call motivation. That's what you call pride in yourself.
That's exactly right.
We're losing that, dude. The Edge, World War II veterans, the greatest society of all time, not only did they work hard for themselves, but they worked even harder for their country, and they gave up a bunch of stuff. And we're losing that edge, dude. Oh, yeah. I'm not. Until the day I die, I'm going to keep on getting up early before the sun rises. And when it sets later in the evening, I'll put my head on a pillow, and I'll fall asleep, dude. But you know what? I'm also going to be part of that society back in the day, which I wasn't the World War II vet, of course. But you know what? I respect that. I want to emulate that, okay? We all need to emulate that. We all need to get up and get a six-pack for crying out loud, not the drinking one. I'm talking the real one on your stomach, dude.
I'm with you, man. I appreciate it. And I can hear it in your voice. So, yeah. All right. So, listen, we will have a gathering at some point in the near future. I'll figure it out, and we'll just expect to call the roll and see you there.
And we bring some liberals, too. You know, bring them in. They say, listen, this is how it's going to be if you want to be conservative. It's wonderful life.
That's right. And you know what? There's a few of them listening to this show. We'll go ahead and reach out to them and say, come on down. But
I'm not hating on liberals, dude. I just want them to realize there is prosperity, and everybody gets a piece of the pie. You just got to make the effort.
All right. Wolverine Dan, we appreciate you, man. Have a great one.
I see you, brother.
See you, man. Text lines and the phone lines all together. Just go ahead and jump on in where you can and hang on. Number is 833-687-4448. Let me grab my notes here, my resources. By the way, the resources are up. Resources are up. I'm looking at Boomer now that I said that out loud. Yes, they are. He confirmed the resources are up. If you go to our website, rightsideradio.org, you hear me rattling paper? If you hear that paper rattle, that means there's a resource somewhere on there. You want to check it out, you can. So you go to our rightsideradio.org website, go to the live stream page, and right above the video streaming of the show, like you can see us inside the studio right here, there's a button that says resources. Click on it, and every article that I rely on for the Dippers, they're all there for you to find. And if you want to send them to somebody or read them for yourself or whatever, there they is. All right, number one, Triple Dipper, Bidenomics. So do you remember back a few years ago when it was the Obama-Biden administration, and they passed Obamacare? And at first it was like, you know, liberals were like, it's a slight. We shouldn't be calling it Obamacare. They're trying to say something by saying that. And then Obama himself came out and said he was embracing the term. Oh. In other words, he decided to make it his own. And he did. And, you know, I guess I got to give him props for that. He went out there and said, if they're going to use that word and put my name on it, heck, you know what? I'll take it. And he did. But what it did was it for him, I think it changed the tone. It wasn't like he was trying to run from being labeled as the author or the man behind Obamacare. He was grabbing the mantle of it and claiming the word, like making it a brand. Well, I think the Biden administration is trying to do that now. I think they're trying to take a lesson from that, but it's just not working. Because in that case, we couldn't see the future yet. We could predict that Obamacare was going to be a debacle in some ways. We could predict that, no, we really wouldn't be able to keep our doctor if we wanted to. We could predict all that stuff. But we couldn't see it yet. We hadn't experienced it yet. Biden, on the other hand, is coming in 2 years after the fact with 40-year record inflation and an economy that is just not hitting it, trying to portray himself as being the author of Bidenomics and embrace the term and make it his own. He came out and gave a speech yesterday. I believe he was at the main post office building in Old Chicago. And he came out and he pitched his whole Bidenomics thing ahead of his, you know, soon to be fully contested 2024 election. And he basically went after it as if everything is beautiful. Here's the question I would ask you. It's the age-old question. Measure what he's saying about the economy, about Bidenomics. Just ask yourself, am I better off right now than I was 4 years ago? Hang on, I'll pause. The answer is no. So, I mean, unless you love inflation, unless you love lower GDP, unless you love a near recession, unless you love higher interest rates, unless you love bacon being 17% higher than it was a few years ago, then the answer to the simple question I just asked is no. Economically, we are not in a better position than we were before he took office. Now, here's the other thing. I recognize that when a president takes office, it's not his economy yet. He has to begin owning it, but technically, for a little bit of time, you could say, well, my predecessor caused this. He doesn't have that luxury anymore. In fact, it's gotten worse on his watch. One study I've got says that the economy in his first year in office had a 5.7% increase. It grew by 5.7%. In the second year he was in office, it only grew by 2.1%. That's a 3% difference in growth, just about 2.5%. That's a significant drop. That's Bidenomics. So here's the deal. He came out and here's his quote. Quote, today the U.S. has the highest economic growth rate leading the world economy since the pandemic, the highest in the world. And exclamation point. You know, he had that kind of yelling at the microphone moment there. Here's the facts. Last year, the economy grew by 2.1%. The prior year, it was 5.7%, like I said. But when you look at data published by the International Monetary Fund, you will find that we are behind multiple other countries. Like, for instance, let's just take 2022. I won't go into 21. 2022, last year, we had 2.1% economic growth. Armenia had 12.6%. The Bahamas had an 11% growth. Bangladesh, 7.1%. Croatia, 6.3%. Egypt, 6.6%. Iraq, where ISIS and current instability and government corruption is still rampant, 8.1%. When a war zone is doing better than you are, something ain't right. He cannot possibly stand there with a straight face and say these things. And I wonder, does he believe it, or is he just saying it because he knows he has to? Anyway, Columbia University School of Business Finance professor Laura Veldkamp, this is all, by the way, in a story on townhall.com, dated yesterday. She says, there's no way that Biden's claim is true if he was referring to percentages. She said, if Biden was citing some unusual or obscure measure of growth, he could have explained that, but he didn't, and the White House didn't either when asked for comment. So here's the way the article concludes. Bidenomics is not working for the American people, despite what the White House and the president proclaim. It's too simple, y'all. Think about it. Are you better off right now than you were before? And numbers don't lie. We're not. There may be individual moments when things have gone well for people, but as a whole, as a culture, as an economy, we are not. Extra piece I've got here on the Washington Examiner. Washington Examiner's headline is Bidenomics Debunked. So here's what... help me with this, all right? Bidenomics, President Joe Biden tweeted out, is characterized, here's the quote, here's how he describes it. Bidenomics is growing the economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. It's a vision where we make smart investments in America, educate and empower American workers, and promote competition to lower costs and help small businesses. What does that even mean? Does anybody even understand what it means to say, you're growing the economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down? And, you know, yesterday on the show, I think it was Jeff Poore that said during the Grand Council, when has it ever worked to say that you're going to grow it from the bottom up? If you're putting incentives in place for small businesses, they're not working right now. They're not. You're flooding the market with fake dollars, but we're really not seeing small businesses getting a hand up. In fact, if anything, it's been a rough several years for small businesses. He says it's an investment. It's a vision. We're making smart investments in America. Now, that's called flooding the market with taxpayer dollars to try and pretend that what just happened was a spark in the economy. In a free market, the true spark in the economy is when the private sector gets engaged and does amazing things, not when the private sector goes, hey, government, if you'll give me a pile of money, I'll do a thing. That's different. Points out here in the article, for 26 months in a row, inflation has outpaced wage growth. Since Biden took office, real wages are down 5%, resulting in the average worker losing almost $5,000 in real wages, according to the House Budget Committee. Inflation that led to the decline in real wages is primarily the fault of the Federal Reserve, which has increased the money supply by 41% in the last 2 years. Helped along by congressional Democrats and even Republicans through several big-dollar spending bills. They put multi-trillion-dollar packages out there, supported largely by the Democrat Party, but even some Republicans. And when they flood the, when they take a supply chain that is stymied, they take an economic sector that is not where it needs to be, and they take a manufacturing sector that can't get the goods it needs to manufacture, and then you flood the market with money, you wind up having more dollars than goods available, and you wind up with inflation, 40% 40-year high inflation. So yeah, Bidenomics. This is going to be fun. I wonder if he's going to try to carry that moniker throughout the entire campaign. And I can't wait to see whether they're going to let him get away with not debating anybody, because any knucklehead running for dog catcher could get up there and make the claim that Bidenomics is a failure. Take me to a break, Boom. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and do a little more on Bidenomics. You are welcome to text in or call in 833-687-4448. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense a superpower. The text lines are going pretty good here. Let me see what we got over here. Chris from Athens. Bidenomics is the double secret probation in Animal House. Only the one who started it knows how it works. That's good. John from Decatur says, Bidenomics equal meth head math. Brian from Huntsville. Bidenomics is thus named because it works. It works for us, but because it works not because it works for us, but because it works for Biden's. I get it. John from Huntsville says, "Here's a funny joke I came across. As a genie came out of a lamp, told the liberal he could have any one wish. So the liberal said, 'I wish I was smarter,' and the genie gladly granted his wish and turned him into a Republican." John from Huntsville, appreciate you. Teresa from Town Creek. Sent me a meme, and it's pretty good. It's like it's set up like a dictionary definition. Bidenomics, a noun. Bidenomics is about blind faith in government spending and regulations. It's an economic disaster where government causes decades-high inflation, high gas prices, lower paychecks, and crippling uncertainty that leaves America's worse off. That's a pretty adequate description, definition. And then Raven from Russellville says, and I think he was commenting on some of the earlier stuff, says, "I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees." That's my monologue, I guess. Thank you, Raven. Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, you want to text in, you're welcome to it, 833-687-4448. You know, I got to say, too, Bidenomics, I mean, is it, I look at it and think, is this a little weird that he's decided to name it for himself?
Well, it's weird to us. To him, I bet he's like, this is awesome.
Maybe so. It was on the teleprompter, so I read it, you know.
Yeah, in all honesty, it's like, do you really want this named after you?
Well, and there's that, but then the other side of it too is the prideful side of, I'm going to name this thing for myself, so my name will be on it.
And forever.
I mean, Obama just kind of said, somebody asked him the question, and he goes, that's fine, if they want to call it that, I'll take it. I mean, that's what he did. He didn't go out there and go, I'd like to give you a speech about Obamacare. And I don't know that Reagan ever used the term Reaganomics for himself. If he did, I'd like to know. But Biden's out there giving a speech about Bidenomics. It's me. Look at me. I'm the president. See? It's Bidenomics. So piece I've got here that came from the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal's hit or miss, but you know, in economics, I look at when they list the actual numbers. So Bidenomics in one lesson, it says, President Biden is now embracing what we have long called Bidenomics as a badge of honor. Biden's approval rating on the economy is 38.3% in the latest Real Clear Politics average, and that's not great. So he gave the speech in Chicago, talking all about his Bidenomics, and then it points out that it's an ugly story about the impact of the worst inflation in 40 years and the standard of living. This is the inflation that Mr. Biden did so much to ignite with all of his spending. And it's a 3.16% decline in real earnings for the average worker across 29 months. So basically, because of inflation and wages not climbing to match inflation, it's as if someone's lost income. It's like you got a pay cut. And in essence, we have lost across the board, the average worker is down 3% in pay. You may have gotten a 5% pay raise at the beginning of the year, but because of Biden's economy, your pay raise doesn't go as far as it would have. It's more like along the lines of you've lost 3%. But here's one that is probably the more galling of all of them when you look at the numbers. In fact, I even saw that Congressman Barry Moore tweeted this out earlier today too. Story from Fox News. The Biden administration's burdensome regulations have cost Americans about $10,000 per household, according to a new report which noted that the figure could skyrocket if President Biden is reelected in 2024 and serves another 4 years. Now, this is regulatory burdens. This is when the government does things that wind up costing you more money. It's everything from raising taxes to making it more difficult to do your job or allowing, you know, certain things to happen that relate to your licensure or establishing penalties, whatever the case may be. Since at the end of last year, according to the study, this was done by Casey Mulligan, a professor of economics at the University of Chicago, the Biden administration imposed new regulatory costs on American households and businesses at a pace surpassing that of the Obama administration during a comparable time period. Mulligan writes that the Biden administration has so far been adding regulatory costs at a rate of $617 billion per year with just rulemaking. That's wow. And when you take it all into account, it comes out to about the equivalent of $9,600 per household in terms of new expense that people are having to endure on the average. Folks, that Biden economy, it's not where it needs to be. The idea that he can be proud of it, I think what he's trying to do really is just grab the narrative and try to shape it himself. Because he, it's a heck of a thing when you can stand up there and say whatever you want and nobody questions it, but that's what's happening. And if you remember too, as he says he's going to run for president, they're also saying they're not going to allow debates for President Biden. Wow. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We're right back with a batch of home fries.